Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 104 of Bucks UK TV. I've got Phil, Gary, and Dom Brady with me today. Dom's still rocking the creamsicle, as is Phil. I think Gary and I have probably moved on somewhat, but we'll see. We're all very excited about the creamsicle, but it's alas, it was not to be. Phil, let's start with you. I guess we probably want to start with the offense first, or rather the lack of offense. What happened?
It was just poor, wasn't it? I think the offense hadn't heard that the game was fletched to the late window, so I think they were there probably two hours earlier. Oh, I don't know. Just you hope to put it down to a poor game off the bye week, but it was almost like they'd not played together for a season to date. You know, it's really poor. You know, if you look at our third down conversion rate, I think we were 2 for 12, which is our poorest game of the year by far. You know, it's never going to go well when you've got zero touchdowns and a 50% completion rate from the quarterback, is it? So, yeah, not one to write home about.
So a lot to unpack there, Dom. We'll come back to you. So we talked about the completion rate last. Would I be fair in putting this all on Baker Mayfield, or is it a bit more complicated than that?
Certainly more complicated than that. I mean, the first, I think we'd probably Evans would have run right for a touchdown, the first big play. If that was completed, of course it wasn't. I think he had two dip passes, actually. It wasn't so bad. He wasn't helped. Evans with that stupid blooming penalty in the end zone as well, which pushed him back 10 yards as well. No running game. In fact, that really, I'm trying not to swear. really winds me up. Really winds me up. When's the last time Rashad White had a good game? Probably we all witnessed it in Munich. I'd have thought.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. We saw Munich and we thought that was the answer, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And he got his angry runs and all that.
We've got a bit of a running gag now that you know it's bad when you see that Vaughan's dressing up for the game.
It's tough though, isn't it? You know, I was thinking earlier, if you think back to, you know, three seasons when Rojo had that big run in Carolina, the 99-yard touchdown, the reason he got the hold, got the break, was Jensen bullying the line, you know, the defensive line, and pushing him back and making that gap. So, part of it's on Rashad White, but also I think we've downgraded our offensive line, losing Jensen and Marpet as well to retirement, and that's obviously having such a massive impact, you know.
I think Wirfs has probably been the success story because he's transitioned, I think, quite well. Gary, kind of let's stick with the O-line then and the running game. Rashad White, 7 carries, 3.7 a pop. Keyshawn Vaughn, 6 carries for 9 yards. Tompkins, 1 carry for 5 yards. Mayfield, 2 carries for 6 yards. It's not really enough on the ground to scare anyone, is it?
No, it's certainly not. I agree with Phil and Dom. I mean, the thing about our offense is it was offensive. You know, there wasn't any. It was just dreadful. I mean, I know Todd Bowles in the press conference afterwards almost tried to blame it on the bye week. You know, a bit rusty coming off the bye. If they'd have stormed it and won by 40 points, he'd have stood up there and said, "Yeah, because we came off the bye, we were nice and fresh."
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is the offense was horrific all day long. Every part of it, the running game, the passing game, the play calling, the offensive line play. I went on the Lions UK podcast last week and I said that the O-line is playing better than expected, but the weakness is, I thought, at centre. The lads on that agreed that Wirfs was all pro. They were pretty confident that Hutchinson would go nowhere near Tristan Wirfs. But an awful lot of the pressure, unfortunately, came up the middle and Phil got it bang on the nose. Mm. Losing Jensen, losing Marpet. It's killed us, really.
But it's interesting, I think, because there seems to be a sort of a real Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing around the run game versus the pass game. Because for whatever, you know, we can come on and talk about catches or not catches and passing or not passing. But I thought the pass blocking was was pretty, pretty respectable. And I think so far today, I can't remember if we're first, but we're definitely top five in terms of fewest sacks allowed. Obviously, Baker to get some credit for that. So, Phil, I mean, why is it so night and day? Is that just the players that we've got and we just need to give up on the run game?
Oh, well, you'd never want to give up on the run game, do you, completely? But I think it partly is down to the players. And I think I would say our offensive line was more porous last year. So part of me wonders if they've put more focus and more emphasis on pass protection this year, you know, and kind of tried to solve that problem. But ultimately that, you know, has then meant, like you've said, we're really good in the kind of giving Baker time in the pocket and good in the pass, but it's still just done nothing for our run game. You know, I think Rashad White, we talked about him earlier as having had some flashes, and that game in Munich was great, but he's not consistent, you know, consistently having those top games like the top backs in the league do. You know, he's not a Kenneth Walker or a Saquon Barkley or Derek Henry or someone who's breaking through and making making holes for himself and kind of ripping off big runs. So, you know, I think it's all kind of combines just to make a real problem. But then that affects the pass game, you know, because if people know we're not going to run because our run game isn't effective, then it helps, you know, how they're going to set up their D, you know, knowing that we're going to pass. So we need to get it going somehow.
Yeah, and Dom, we'll make this the last thing on the offense, and then we'll try and come to something slightly more positive and enjoyable. The receivers, yeah, Mike Evans, 10 targets, only 4 catches. There were clearly some drops there, some jitters. Should we look to the receivers or should we be looking at the play calling? Because I think we all kind of thought Canales coming in was going to be a breath of fresh air. I don't know about you guys. I mean, Dom, the play calling didn't strike me as particularly, Peyton-esque.
No, it certainly wasn't. And I think I know why, Kieran.
Okay.
This is it. I've been studying it. You know, on the oldest, it's a bit left field, this. They hold that clipboard up like this, don't they?
That's right.
Canales don't do it. Have you noticed that? He does this game. So I think they're reading his plays. I might be wrong there. But even if they're not, it's a bit of everything. Yeah. He was overthrowing Baker. He overthrew 3 or 4. He just wanted his game. I think he was a bit like a rabbit in the headlights. He seemed to lose his confidence, I think, in the second half. First off, if you'd have said to me before the game, the Lions are going to score 20 points, 10 each off, I thought we'd win that game. I thought we'd score, even though we're only averaging about 17 points. I thought so. We didn't. Oh no, we're coming onto the defense, but we just didn't do it. Everyone let us down on the offense, I think, but mainly the run game. But he's going to keep persisting with it. Canales has said that, and he's got to, hasn't he? Because we can't become one dimensional. But it puts a lot of pressure on Mayfield.
You say that, though, about being one-dimensional. I know you're going to come on to talk about the defence, but the Lions didn't really have a running game either, did they? You know, they kind of barely got any yards on the ground as well.
Yeah, they got less yards.
Only when they needed it, though, didn't they? When they needed it, the third downs and that, they just seemed to produce it every bloody time. Whereas we just can't do it.
But if you're going to throw 350 yards in the air, you probably don't. That doesn't matter too much, does it?
No,
looking at the average, 11.8 yards on average. And we'll come on. This is a good segue. So Brown averaged 10.3. Reynolds averaged 16.7. Williams averaged 26.5. Reynolds averaged 14. Montgomery only got one, but he went for 19. You know, they had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 different receivers in the rotation. And with an average of more than 10, and 30 with completions. So every time they catch the ball, it's the first down. And each time they catch it, it's 10 yards and they catch it 30 times. So on the one hand, I kind of think the defense did pretty well because this is an explosive offense, isn't it? That's managed to rack up some points. So to hold them to only 20 and to do that at home, it feels like the defense did they pull their end of the bargain?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you restrict a team like the Lions, you know, who were 4-1 going into it, now 5-1, to 20 points, you'd think we've got a really good chance of winning this game. And you would expect to, you know, just from an average offense. But we unfortunately didn't get average offense yesterday. You know, it was really poor. I think if you look at the D, though, it's similarly Jekyll and Hyde to the offense, but the other way around. You know, I think our run D is brilliant. Like Vita Vea is a massive, you know, absolutely massive monster. You know, he makes such a difference to our defense. But I've always felt our secondary is kind of our weakness in our D. You know, they stand off. There's often weak tackling, especially on third downs where, you know, we're trying to get the stop and they step off and then don't bring the guy down and they get additional yards. You know, I think it's over the last 3-4 years at least, probably longer, it's long been the weakness of our D.
Gary, kind of, do you agree? The run was great, pass not so much. Well, there's a bit of a running gag, isn't there, with third down, receivers wide open, whatever our zones are, they're the wrong ones, aren't they?
Yeah. And every time I come on, I say the same thing. For some reason, we allow the opposing receivers to catch the ball. You know, why aren't we contesting the catch? You've heard me say it a million times. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand it. The only thing I can think is that because Bowles loves to blitz as much as he does, of course, that leaves the secondary short of manpower. So you've got that gap. So the little dink and dunk passes that the guy with the strange name was catching all the time, just those 10 catches, 10 yards down the field. You know, there's nobody there because we blitz. Mm. You know, surely they know the quarterbacks who are good against the blitz. And it, going in, they knew that Goff was really good against the blitz, gets the ball out really quickly.
And without getting too maddened about everything and, you know, with the X's and O's, obviously when we were blitzing, as you said, we were leaving zone coverage, which is why they were able to find those big holes. And of course, if you're blitzing, you don't have enough people to man every zone, exactly as you were saying. Clearly, they decided they did not want to play man coverage. I haven't looked at the actual stats, but I saw barely any man coverage in there because I think they knew one-on-one, like-for-like, person-for-person, it wasn't going to end well.
Goff played very well, didn't he? Goff played very well. I was very impressed with Goff. I thought he's built his career back from, well, similar to Mayfield, really. You know, he was written off for a time and I thought he did really well. When he was pressured, he knew when to throw the ball away. And he found those receivers, didn't he? He found them. And he's got a right arm on him to pick that Williams out right for the touchdown. I think the second touchdown they got. Superb. So you've got to give him credit. And I think the D probably did as well as they could do. Like I say, to restrict them to 20 points, I think most of us would have took that. Yeah. Against the Lions and the free scoring team, aren't they? They bang 30, 40 points up.
They are. And I guess the key to the Todd Bowles pressure, as you were saying, Phil, is sort of getting that pressure up front and that aggressive calling. Now, I mean, it's hard to single anyone out, but I'm going to try because I guess Shaq Barrett and JTS coming off the edge, they're the people that we're expecting to see, you know, meeting at the QB. But we didn't seem to be getting that pressure, did we?
Yeah, no, I think Canty did well, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, coming off an injury as well, I think he looked quite good. Barrett's done all right this year, but he's coming off a bit of a major injury from last year as well. So, you know, you'd have thought that might take time. JTS, I've never really been impressed with. I think last year, a lot of the time, he was over-pursuing. So you'd see him sprint past the quarterback. And I think that's still somewhat of an issue, albeit he looked a little bit better this year. But I guess, you know, it depends on the strength of the opposition line. You know, the Lions kind of give Goff a lot of time and we've got to find ways to unlock that and get there. And yesterday, we just didn't manage to do it.
I guess finally then, just to round out, I think we'll come to one of the high points of the game. My favourite bit, special teams. Dom, 100% of the offensive scoring for the Bucks was special teams. How special was it?
Well, it's the kickers again, isn't it? Both of them did well. I know Gary wants Kamada to pin them right back onto the one, though he did do a superb kick, probably his first one, went in, pinned them right back. And McLaughlin's kicks, it's great that we don't, God, when we first started this podcast, we used to bemoan our kicking game, didn't we? Like our running game now. Whereas I'm pretty confident no matter where he is, and he's got hell of a leg. Well, they both got hell of a legs on them, aren't they? Probably two of the best in the league.
I'll come to Gary. So the Coughlin's two field goals were 33 and 36. I can't remember which one it was that made the donking noise, but that's not a noise we like to hear, is it?
No, it looked like one of my seven irons. But, you know, but the bottom line is he got it in. And that's all that matters. Yeah. And you know, I think we finally sunk the curse of Matt Bryant. Ryan Suckup did that, and Chase McLaughlin is, I mean, he's doing pretty well. And you've also got to factor in that it was pretty windy. The sideline reporter, the name escapes me, her hair was blowing all over the place. So it must have been pretty windy. I mean, we are having a bit of a moan about how badly we played. We need to congratulate the Lions. They played really, really well. I know we're talking about special teams, sorry, but, you know, the Lions are a good side. They're probably the third, you could even make an argument they're higher than that in the NFC now after yesterday's results. And yes, they're 5-1, but they were 8-2 over the last 10 games last year. So they're on a heck of a run.
That's a good point. I guess then we're just the last thing we'll dwell on, and then we'll wrap up for the day. But you're right. So Phil, we'll start with you, but we'll work round to everyone. So the Bucks losses have been, you know, Eagles and Lions. The wins, inferior teams. Who are the Bucks in 2023?
Oh, this is a good question, isn't it? I think the Bucks are, well, I don't want to jinx it, do I? I'm touching a lot of wood, but I think the Bucks are still division winners. Like, you know, there's nothing in the NFC South that has made me think otherwise. You know, there was a lot of talk pre-season that we weren't going to be as good, and you could arguably say that, you know, coming off the back of this game, definitely. But I still think we've got a great defence, we've got some good playmakers on offence, and I think we've got enough to win the division. And then once you're there, who knows what can happen? But yeah, in terms of where we rank in the full NFC, it's hard to say, really, isn't it? It's hard to tell from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, Dom, where are the Bucks in your power rankings?
Well, better than what I thought they were going to be. I thought we'd be winning about 6 games this season, and we are probably in the weakest division. But who cares if we win the weakest division? You can only win the division you're in, and I'm quite confident we'll be. The Falcons twice, Panthers, and I think we'll win it easily. I think we'll do better than, and then we'll probably do nothing in the playoffs. But we probably all knew that anyway, didn't we?
It's nothing like optimism, Dom.
I think we ought to say about. I'm thinking of winning the league. Come on.
I think you're breaking up there. I think you're saying about winning the division. You're right.
I hate it. What I did yesterday. Sorry, I was just going to say, I hated yesterday how many Detroit fans there were there. It just really wound me up. They're all, no matter what team we play, Philadelphia fans everywhere, green everywhere. And I know how Mr. Costain feels now at Blackpool, seeing a team with away fans, more away fans than home fans, and seeing us lose. And they play in orange as well, not tangerine. But yeah, that wound me up. I hate seeing that. And you could hear "Let's Go Lions" over and over again. Piss off.
Especially on such a big day. You know, they made a big event around the bringing the creamsicles back, and then seeing a lot of fans. I really think that sucks. You know, if you've got tickets to sell them to other home fans. Like, but selling to away fans, I think is a terrible sin.
It wouldn't happen in England, would it? You'd lose your season ticket straight away. But in America, they don't seem to care about it.
Well, we've got segregated seating, so it's not really like for like, is it?
No.
So,
I know. It winds me up. And obviously, there's not the interest in Tampa to sell out.
So, Gary, final word. Where are the Bucks in your power rankings? And should we put the creamsicles in the bin? Or worse, just burn them?
Well, in terms of the power rankings, I think mid-table mediocrity, to be honest. There's clearly some better teams, but, you know, you can only beat or only play against the teams on the schedule. If you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, then you're going to be there or thereabouts. And we've got some very, very winnable games, you know, for the going forward. I hate that expression. We've got the Texans, the Titans, the so far winless Panthers we've got to play twice. You know, we've got some winnable games. As for the creamsicle, I hate that word. It's orange, surely.
It used to be Florida orange.
That's it used to be Florida.
It's orange.
I love the concept, but, you know, perhaps they might have a bit of a rethink, purely because... The the orange is synonymous with when the team started, the 26 game losing streak to start the franchise, etc., etc. And we didn't start winning until we changed the uniforms.
I know we want to sell the merch, so I'm going to steal the final word. So my suggestion for throwback is to flip it around. Wear the white jerseys and the Florida orange pants, because that's when things started to turn around. That was Allstott's first year. Barber was there then. Sapp was there then. Brooks were there. That, for me, is the beginning. I would do it that way. So let's sell lots and lots of white jerseys and lots of orange shorts. And that's the future for merch. So, Gary, you said there's lots of teams we've still got to play and that are eminently beatable. Hopefully, you guys will stick around for the next episode coming soon, where we're hopefully going to touch on one of those, which is going to be the Falcons. So we'll call it there. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Dom. Thank you guys for watching. As ever, do all of that pressy, likey, belly, subscribey stuff. Give us a poke, and we will see you next time. Until then, go Bucks!
Go Bucks! Go Bucks!